In this episode of Movie Wallahs, we're going to review the horror movie The Conjuring. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy weekend.
Yay.
Very excited to talk about our next episode, which should be, if we did this right, episode 200.
Woo! Woot, woot.
And for those that don't know, we did a Movie Wallahs event live here in San Diego.
Live Movie Wallahs.
So that had a review of the movie Pacific Rim. So thanks to all of those that came to the podcast.
Yay!
A live podcast, which is kind of cool. We had how many people? Probably like 60 or so.
Yeah.
It was a decent crowd.
Yeah.
It felt well. We filled the space that we had, and there was live improv that night, courtesy of Side Stage. So thanks to all
the
players.
Who were awesome.
Who were beyond awesome. They were ridiculously good.
And it was all film-related improv. Very good.
Yeah, it was really cool fun. So that should be a treat for the next episode. I'm looking forward to publishing that, and that will be episode 200. Congrats, guys.
I'm excited about this one.
The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Oh, how the
Which the audience didn't vote for. So we gave the audience an option to listen to a live review of either The Conjuring or Pacific Rim. And I think given, as Joe and Yazdi said, there were more 11-year-old boys in the audience than horror film likers, we did Pacific Rim. So hence I had to wait another week to talk about The Conjuring.
Well, I just like the thought that we made Yazdi go and watch The Conjuring.
I know, I felt bad that we made you watch it.
We shall talk about that.
All right, well, let's get into the review, because we do have a curfew tonight. So who's got the intro for The Conjuring? Yazdi, take it away.
So The Conjuring is the latest movie from David Wan, who previously made Saw, as well as last year's Insidious. This time the director wanders into real-life territory by basing his movie on real events which happened in the early 70s, specifically regarding a couple who were the paranormal experts in the 70s, who essentially were also involved with the Amityville Horror incident which happened in real life. Turns out that the most frightening case that they ever dealt with had to do with a haunting which happened in a large farmhouse in the Rhode Island, where a family of two and their five daughters moved in, and soon they realized that things were not quite right. The wife starts getting mysterious bruises on her body. The children keep seeing imaginary other kids who they believe are their friends, and all manner of strange things happen in the night.
Well, the hair on the back of my neck has just stood up again. It's horrible.
And essentially, this couple who are experts, the husband being a paranormal expert, and the wife being...
Not a paranormal husband.
A paranormal husband. There are too many of those in the world. And the wife being essentially somebody who had extrasensory perception, were brought into this case, and essentially they stepped into this particular situation and tried to help out. That, in a nutshell, is the story of the movie. The movie stars Ron Livingston, Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, as well as Lily Taylor. And the movie's already made a ton of money. It opened last week to a pretty big box office.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to see this at LA Film Festival, Rashmi and I at least.
Yeah, and then all I have to say is I'm just so happy that there were three of us sleeping in a room. And that was with you, Yazdi, as well. So yes. I'm just happy that there were more than two of us, that if a spirit followed us back from the cinema, that there was a choice of three legs to pull.
Right, well, what do
okay.
you think of it,
Carl? So I'll start by saying there are scary movies that disturb you while you're watching them. So things like, you know, The Evil Dead, that have a lot of blood and gore, and they have this supernatural theme. And then there are those scary movies that scare the living daylights out of you, and you can't stop thinking about them because they're as bad as your imagination will let them be. And this is one of those. But it's so good. And I really like this movie. And I hate horrors. But this one starts with one of the best deaths I've ever seen. I really like this movie. Hence, I insisted Yazdi go watch it.
I'll give you my 2 cents, and then yes, you can tell us what you think. So, woo-wee! This was one bloody scary movie. It was really old school. I like the fact that they, you know, not only was it was set in a period a few years ago, well, 70s, I guess.
Yeah.
It was kind of had that really cool, but it felt like one of the movies made at that time. You know, in fact, Amityville Horror was probably a big influence for it because, mm-hmm. you know, it had, you know, the funky outfits and, you know, that it was just that whole period. I think they captured very well, but boy, was this scary. I mean, it was creepy, it was demonic, and it was full of some Stella good moments. Stella, get it?
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I didn't get it the first time.
No, right. I didn't either.
That ends the comedy section of this podcast.
Yeah.
We'll get back to seriousness. Go on, Yesti.
Yeah, I wish there was a more erudite way of saying this, but this is a scary ass movie. It really is. I mean, and, you know, I get scared easily, but even by those standards, this is a scary movie. Now, I came back from that movie and I left all the lights on in my house. I'm not proud of it. I really did. Every single one. I left the lights on in the kitchen, in the bedroom, everywhere. And even then, I could sleep only for about 3 hours.
Really? I'm sorry.
No,
I feel awful.
I mean, I think it's done its job as a horror movie. I think, you know, we're reasonably benumbed to the usual tropes of horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, we know about, you know, sudden jerks and the music suddenly rising. And the movie actually doesn't pander and doesn't really get into, and we can talk about that. It really doesn't.
I disagree with you.
There are no cheap thrills in the movie.
I agree with Yazdi.
I think it was full of cheap thrills. There were some bangs, loud noises, and...
But
they weren't cheap thrills. They were there because it was a horror movie,
exactly.
And it was trying to be a spirit or convey to you the horror that the family were feeling in the house. So obviously you're hearing things, but I didn't think there were cheap shots that I've seen.
Like, there isn't a cat
movies.
Which just jumps across the screen
right.
for no reason.
But there's a hand clap that comes over a shoulder.
Oh, and that's very, don't you think that's brilliant?
Yeah.
That's not a cheap thrill.
That's
a very
part
expensive
of the story. That's, I think that's what we mean. So
the hand clap moment, by the way, is in the trailer. So anyone that hasn't seen the movie wants to see what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I was going to say was each one of the scary moments are part of the story, not something unconnected. One of those scary things moves you forward. It's not like you hear the door bang and then it's the husband coming home.
Got it.
Just to give you a cheap shot,
Know.
So, so I agree with you, Yazdi. But the thing that worked for me, I think, is this is a beautifully crafted movie with some brilliant camera work and some really good twists and turns that I just didn't expect.
Yeah, I think this director has a knack for building a good scare.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first half of the movie is successful because it knows that what you don't see is so much more horrifying than what you do see. I mean, I was as scared by the first half of the movie as the second one. And I think the movie Alien knew this because you only ever see the creature in the last half hour of the movie and you're scared witless in the first part because, you know, you imagine what this might be. Jaws knew this.
Yes.
And I think this movie, I mean, there are some scenes early on, there's one scene in the movie, and I hope I'm not giving anything away, where, you know, these little girls are, the two daughters are sleeping in beds side by side and, you know, something is pulling at
it's
their legs.
It's in the trailer.
Yeah, it's in the trailer. Something is pulling at the legs. She gets up and she wakes up her sister and she says, somebody's standing by the door, and her sister goes and stands by the door and says, look, nobody's here. And then the sister who's sitting on the bed starts screaming, saying, don't you see him? It's right behind you. And it's all dark behind them and you don't see anything. And that sent a chill down my back because I know that she can see it, but I can't see it. Again, maybe I'm very easily scared, that was very effective.
It was very creepy. And I think overall, I think the movie was incredibly well paced because it had this building sense of dread and intensity, right? It starts off pretty scary, but then it builds and it builds and it builds. One of the reasons I had no hesitation in sending you to this, Yazdi, which I'm really sorry we did know.
Which clearly was not right.
Well, like, can I just say?
Just to finish the point, compared to Woman in Black.
Yeah.
Because we saw Woman in Black together, Yazdi, and that was a movie that kept me awake for probably a good week.
Yeah.
After
the week
it.
I was away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This movie didn't give me that same sense of persistent fear after I left the theater. And I think the thing with The Woman in Black was the force there was so malevolent and had not been dealt with at the end of the movie that I think that's why that one persisted. Whereas this one, again, I'm not going to go too much into spoiler territory here, but this one concluded, so it didn't feel And also, it was kind of an understandable situation that led to the haunting, right? So it explained it in a way that I think diffused my fear as I left the theater.
Yeah, and I agree. And I actually told Yazdi, I said, look, don't worry, because I hate horror films as much as Yazdi does. And I agree with you, Joe, that I didn't have that feeling of dread that it's following me home. I said to Yazdi, there's a portion about a third to a halfway through the movie where you see something, and it kind of, once you see it, you're like, oh, okay then. And poor Yazdi, when I spoke to him afterwards, he was like, which bit? Like, where was that bit that was supposed to, like, alleviate my fear? And it didn't come for him.
I kept waiting for that bit. I was like, where is that bit where it's going to be all okay? Because I kept waiting and it kept getting worse and worse. And I do agree with you. This movie is uncommonly good pacing. The last 45 minutes of the movie are relentless. Oh. And, you know, the pacing is so on top of each other. And I think it's very clever because if the movie ever let up during that time, you know, we would kind of figure out how silly some of it was, but it never lets up. It just keeps coming, bang, bang, bang. So you don't breathe, literally.
Yeah. And great sound editing. I mean, I think for a horror, for me, this had exceptional sound editing. And just editing generally, it was just amazing.
Good horror relies very much on good sound. I mean, I think, Yazdi, to your point earlier, it is what you don't see that is the most scary, you know. Regardless of what you think of movies like The Blair Witch Project, part of why they were so scary was because there was no visual cue as to what this evil force was. You know, Paranormal Activity is another great movie that has almost no special effects in the original cut, but it's all done with sound. So I think this director also understands that very well and plays with that and plays with your anticipation.
It really plays so well with audience expectations. I think for every 5 boo moments, there's only 3 where there is something which comes out of it. And the other 2, nothing comes off it. And it just helps, you know, build that pressure cooker, you know, intensify the pressure. Like there's a great scene where the inspector hears something outside of the house in the night and he kind of starts looking through the windows and then he steps out. And I couldn't watch it because I was like, something's going to happen to him. And, you know, it's so stupid that, you know, every horror movie has this, but somehow it's done so effectively.
Yeah. I had a lot of like, don't go down there. No, don't look behind you because, you know, it has all of that. I mean,
that stuff always annoys me now. We talked about it with Evil Dead earlier this year, where there's just some stupid moments where there's quite clearly some horrific presence down there in the cellar, right? So why would you go down? No person in their right mind would go down. And here you have that going on in this
couple
movie
times.
As well.
Yeah.
So those kind of things annoy me because you would go find someone else to go with you. You would go grab a flashlight. You wouldn't deal with box of matches. So it has some of those horror cliches in there, right?
Yeah, but I think what they serve to do these days is they almost make the audience laugh and you almost get a little moment of relief before the really bad stuff happens. So I actually like that because I think
it allows you nervous
correct
laughter.
It gives you that and the nice thing about watching a horror in the cinema, which I think is the only way I'm ever going to watch horrors, because it would just be too scary to watch them on our own, and then Joe would probably hide behind the walls and scare me or boo me or something. So I think the enjoyment of watching a horror movie in the cinema is nice because you kind of get that crap, we're all in this together, and people laugh and you get that relief, and then suddenly the horror moment comes. So I like that about this movie.
And here's the funny thing. I normally really dislike people talking in movies. Okay, period. I just, you know, I hate it when somebody's sitting behind me and having a running commentary saying, don't you see he hates you? Or don't you see he's a dog? It really bothers me when people talk to the screen. And yet, for the first time in memory, I found myself speaking aloud in the middle of the movie. I actually said, keep going up the stairs. Don't go down. And then I was really ashamed. I was really embarrassed. I was like, I've become the person I hate. I was speaking aloud in the movie. Like, there's the one scene where he goes down the cellar. He investigates. He doesn't find anything in the middle of the night. And he's climbing up the stairs. And then he hears something again. And I mean, I'm the one who's telling people, like, this is a movie. It's not real. And yet I was telling him, keep going up, you know, or something.
That fact may be more horrific than the movie itself. That you exhibited those bad behaviors.
I know.
I think just we've been raving about it. I think, to be fair, it is a little bit overcooked in places. Yes, you always use that term. I think the score's really good, and we talked about the sound editing. But at times, I think it rammed it down your throat versus letting you come to that conclusion. So the music gets really loud and really dramatic, and it's like you should be feeling really scared now versus you would feel scared even if the music was a little bit, you know, downplayed. So that was my only kind of, you know, poo-poo.
The only other comment I want to make is, you know, much has been made about the movie's R rating, and because of entirely commercial reasons these days, horror movies always dance around that PG-13 line where, you know, they want it to be scary enough that it still gets a PG-13 rating because they want all those teenagers to come and watch it.
Right.
And this movie has an R rating, and I think with the exception of one shot, it's completely blood-free. There is almost no gore in this movie with the exception of that one shot. And I think the movie still earns its R rating because it's so intense. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of the, you know, reviews of this movie, and people keep using the word unbearable. And it's a high accolade to play, but I think certain parts of this movie are unbearable. It's really pretty relentless. It gets very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a 13, 14-year-old going to see this unaccompanied. I think it could really mess them up for a long time.
I agree. I agree. I was talking to someone about this movie, and they were saying that, you know, they had done a lot of reading about this case. And one of the interesting things was, you know, how the spirit possesses the wife, and this isn't a spoiler, but that apparently there's this whole backstory around the fact that the spirit fell in love with the husband was jealous of the wife. And hence, you know, that's how the possession came about. So if there's ever a spirit who wants you, Joe, I'm leaving the house. Like, they can have
you. They can have Joe. I mean, I remember thinking three times during the movie, you know, this is supposed to be a relatively poor family which has invested all their money and they move into this big farmhouse. I don't care if I lose every dollar I had, okay? If this kind of crap is going on in my house, I'm out of there. I'll live in the train station, okay, for the rest of my life. I don't care how much money I've invested. I'm out of there.
I'm with you all.
Yeah, me too. Okay, anything else, or should we wind this one up?
Just a quick note to performances.
Yes.
Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Ron Livingston. I thought they were all great in
this. All excellent.
Lily Taylor. Very good.
Excellent.
How did I miss that? And the kids were great in this too.
Excellent.
It's sometimes a little... Well, kids in horror movies can go either way for me, but these kids played it right. They weren't overly kind of psycho scary kids, but they had their moments where they really conveyed.
Especially that young child was very good. I mean, to convey that is hard, I think.
So good performances all around.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't Oscar territory, but these actors really all did a superb job, I thought.
Yeah. And James Wan is directing Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah,
what a strange choice for him and also the directors. But I guess he understands pacing, right? He understands excitement.
Tension,
and that's what the Fast and Furious movies are about. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with, you know, outdoor stunts as opposed to kind of indoor things. I've not seen any of his other work. I missed Insidious.
Yeah, purposely.
Yeah, that was somewhat intentional.
We skipped
that on that one. But that had very good reviews as well, so... it is a movie that I think I might try and watch in a brightly lit Sunday morning at some point in my life.
Back of a plane.
Yeah.
On a DVD player. All right, let's wind this one up. So, Joe, why don't you go first?
This was really bloody good fun. It was scary, and Yazdi, now that I look at your reaction to it, I do think that, you know, perhaps because we saw it at LA Film Festival and we had the whole kind of fanboy crowd there and everyone was buzzing with excitement and some of the stars of the movie came in. You know, we had, it de-scared a lot of what we would have otherwise felt leaving the movie theater. So it was scary. And I think, you know, with that, I enjoyed the movie and would recommend it to anyone who likes to have a good, scary movie. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I think fans of this genre perhaps might give it one or two more. This was a very effective, scary movie.
Yes, D.
Yeah, I mean, I think the greatest compliment I can give the movie is by saying it is not a lazy film. Its goal is to scare you, and it works hard with its setup, with the pacing, with the period details, with the true life connections, and with great use of music, and it gets its job done. So I think just by that, I give it a 7.5 out of 10. And if you're going to fight me, I'll back down to 7.
But, I will haunt you.
Don't haunt me, please. 7 out of 10. And I'm fascinated by that couple, by the way. They had this whole room in their house where they kept all these artifacts.
I think there are lots of sequels hidden in that film. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff about them on Wikipedia. I mean, just look for this. And I actually want to dig out the Amityville Horror again. And maybe watch that, because that was one that they tackled too.
Mm. Yeah. So there's nothing new in here that you haven't seen before, other than really good acting by a really good cast and a really good story that really happened. I really enjoyed this movie.
Really enjoyed the movie.
I'm going to give it an 8. I almost gave it a 9, but I think it's an 8.
And I think this is the thing, you know, when you tell somebody this movie is really, really, really scary, when they'll see it, they'll be like, it's not so much. I think I went in not expecting, thanks to my fellow movie ballers, who said, after a certain point, it won't be so scary. But I went in with not expecting it to, like, you know, I had chills. I had chills many times.
My
back. So
I did too.
Who knows? I think if you're like dyed-in wool horror movie fan, maybe this won't be scary enough, but it did.
I think the most fascinating thing for me is that this couple is real, and the fact that you see photographs of the real people at the end during the credits, and that room is fascinating. And we have to remember, this is one of the only cases that apparently the Vatican even considered as a true haunting.
So they sanctified a proper exorcism of that place.
Yeah. And the Vatican recognized it. So that's all fascinating. So there's a lot of fascinating fodder in this film, I think.
Yeah.
If anyone has an Apple TV, in the trailer section of Apple TV, you can watch trailers on the movie. But if you click on the More button, there's actually all these extras that you can see. One of the trailers actually goes into, it has the real family talking about their experiences. So that's part of the trailer's little bonus thing. It may actually be on the movie official website as well, but that's how I saw it. Yeah. So. All right. Well, that was The Conjuring. So
the phone rang by itself.
Mail at movieworlders.com, as always, for comments. Twitter.com/movieworlders, Facebook.com/movieworlders as well. Do ping us on Facebook. And again, look out for our next episode, which will be our 200th show. Yay! Until next time, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. And good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.